Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. Appreciate all of you guys listening, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. They've got great news, by the way, over at Strange Brew. Huge news, a huge development here. Breaking news, call it what you will. If you are a Keurig owner, which is, of course, one of the most popular coffee cup or coffee makers in the world right now, everybody seems to have one of those. K-Cups are now available of all your favorite Strange Brew flavors. You can buy them, obviously, at any Strange Brew location in Starkville or Tupelo. Or, as I've said many times, you can shop online for them at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. So if you have a Keurig and you want to grab some great Strange Brew coffee, that's totally doable now. The Strange Brew K-Cups are here. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. There's still time this holiday season to pick up the maroon and white merchandise your family wants. And, of course, now Liberty Bowl t-shirts will be available if that's what you're looking for. So, two locations in Jackson to serve you. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you wanted to put under the Christmas tree that's maroon and white, they've got it at College Corner. Humble Taco here in Starkville is Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. I can only say newest for, I guess, until that Chipotle finally opens up. Then they'll just be the best Mexican restaurant, which is fine. Totally acceptable. You know, you can't always be the newest. We have to add to our 20 Mexican restaurants in a town of 20,000 people.
We almost have one for every 10 people.
It's something like that, yeah. But nobody has a restaurant like Humble Taco, not just in Starkville, but anywhere else. It's such a unique place, unique food, and a great experience every time. Swing by there, grab one of their handcrafted margaritas, grab some chips and salsa, and enjoy a delicious meal. Next time you're in Starkville, head to Humble Taco. This holiday season, if you're looking for something to bring to your holiday party, I said holiday twice. That's a little redundant, but that's okay. Go to Firehouse Subs and pick up an incredible party platter. They've got great offers and great deals. Everything you need for the holiday party, and you will be the hero when you show up toting a Firehouse Subs party platter. And, of course, if you're just looking to pick up lunch, they make it so easy for you at Firehouse with the Firehouse Subs app. Download it today. Put in your order. Walk in. Grab your sandwich. Walk out. And you're also piling up reward points, so you'll be eating free sandwiches faster than you can imagine, including my favorite, the meatball. I still haven't gone over there and gotten the meatball and added the pepperoni yet, though. That's on the list for this week. We're going to make that happen. I'm going to give that a try. Next time you're looking for lunch, you know where to head. Firehouse Subs, locations in Starkville, Oxford, Tupelo, Columbus, Flowood, and Madison. All right, Robbie. You got your blue suede shoes. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, Robbie Falk.
Can't wait.
Crying all the time. You'll have a blue Christmas without me.
You're not going?
Nah, I don't think I'm going to go.
Why?
I don't know.
You don't want to go eat barbecue?
I can eat barbecue in my own backyard.
Yeah, but
I know how to make ribs.
Why don't you eat somebody else's?
I mean, I do like the barbecue. I do like the barbecue in Memphis. It is good.
I mean, what else are you going to be doing?
What day is the game? The 28th?
I think it's... is it
27th?
I thought it was New Year's Eve, is it not? It usually is, I thought.
You think that seems like a piece of information we could have known before we started recording.
Well, you're the person that's in charge here.
No. I saw what you put on the message board that it's your show. I saw that.
Well, I mean,
I saw that.
I'm not supposed to mention your name on our board.
Okay, now I know that's a lie. I have an account. It's my name.
But you're just
people,
a random member on the board.
I'm not one of these people who hides behind a username like Humuckle or Smiley J or anybody else. All right, I put my name out there. You know who I am.
There's no reason to call out posters.
I'm not a keyboard cowboy. All right.
There's no reason to call out posters on this show.
It's done. I just did it.
I guess I can't do anything to you.
It's on December 28th. in case you're wondering. 5:45 kickoff.
Yay.
I don't know if I'm coming yet. I think that they had mentioned they want to send me to that. I told them what they should do. Let's just start a full riot. Instead of, since we didn't go to Omaha, let's just send the whole crew down to New Orleans. I'll take a free trip to New Orleans for a week.
Why can't they come to Memphis?
Ah, you know, got New Orleans. So I'd rather go to New Orleans, to be totally honest with you. Anyway, Mississippi State and Texas Tech. The storylines kind of all write themselves, though, for this game. Obviously, Mike Leach, Texas Tech, anybody who knows Mike Leach, you know the story there. I don't know a lot about Texas Tech as we sit here on December 5th. I'll have to be a lot more familiar with them as we go. But this
another
is a team.
Coach got fired.
They went through a midseason coaching change, and it sort of sparked their season, and they ended up being, you know, pretty good by the end of the year. Had a couple of good wins over, I think, Kansas State and TCU. And, you know, that's like I said, I just don't, as we sit here today, they're not. I'm not as familiar as I'm going to be by the time we get there. But it's 12 straight bowls for Mississippi State, which is, I think, the fourth longest streak or one of the top five streaks in the country. I think it's the third longest streak of the SEC behind Georgia and Alabama and Texas A&M. So I guess that's fourth. Say what you want about whatever you want to say. When this team was 2-2, it was fair to question whether or not that we would be talking about this on this day. And they got the job done. Yeah, did they lose games they shouldn't have? Absolutely. But they won games they shouldn't have as well. I think, by and large, this team should be pretty pleased that it's in a bowl game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just making it to a bowl is big for Mississippi State. I know fans want more, and you should want more, but this is a program that hasn't always been to bowl games. There was a long time when we were sitting around watching teams that couldn't get past three or four wins. So, you know, I never take covering a bowl for granted. That's always fun to go to these different cities and things like that. We've been to the Liberty Bowl a couple of times on this beat. I wasn't on the beat yet in 07, but this will be my third Liberty Bowl to go to, and this will be the second time I've gone to Memphis this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thrilled about it, but it's another opportunity to cover a football game, and I'm not going to be upset about that. And they have good barbecue in Memphis.
They do have good barbecue. There's no question about that. One thing I will say about this, I think something that gets lost a lot of the times is this. The bowl game is a reward for the team, not for the fans.
That's right.
So when people say, well, you know, it's better for MSU fans to get to Memphis, blah, blah, ask yourself this. If you're a football player, would you rather play in an NFL stadium in a climate-controlled environment, or would you rather play in a dump, which is what the Liberty Bowl is, in probable 30-degree weather? So when you're complaining, you know, I get that January 4th is not a date a lot of fans can make, but the money on these games is made from television. It's not made from ticket sales. The team sort of got shafted here. A 7-5 team got picked for a worse bowl than a 6-6 team. Now, I know that 6-6 team in LSU beat Mississippi State, but every game counts. And State was better overall than LSU was.
So, I just think we're really splitting hairs when we get down to that, because these games are all just kind of lumped together.
They are, but
and Mississippi State didn't take care of business.
No, you're not wrong about that. If State had beaten Memphis, beaten LSU,
if State had beaten Memphis
or Arkansas, one game,
just beat Memphis, you're not going to go back to Memphis.
No question about it.
If they win eight games, they're not going to Liberty Bowl.
I thought that playing in Memphis already this year would have hurt them as far as going to Memphis this year.
You would have thought.
But at the end of the day, I think from a player perspective, I would much rather play in the Texan Stadium than the Liberty Bowl. So, you know, they're the ones who are getting, you know, shafted, if anybody is, for this one. But I feel like this matchup, just looking at it on paper, and what little, again, I, you know, have to tell you that what little I know about Texas Tech, feels like State has a big opportunity to get an eighth win. And that's very key. There's a world of difference between 8-5 and 7-6 when you come into the game 7-5. Like, if you're 6-6 and you get that seventh win, you're thrilled. If you're 7-5 and you fall to 7, it just feels like if you end the game on a two game in the year on a two game losing streak, people are going to remember that. There's not going to be a lot of excitement going into the offseason. Whereas if you win this game, you can say, look, from the time they were 2-2, They finished, what, 6-3?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something you can sell. They got better each week, blah, blah, blah. Call it what you want. It's perception. And perception, as I always say, is reality. But State, this is, you know, I'm a guy who says meaningless bowl games a lot, and when I don't get upset when players sit out. But this game has some meaning for Mississippi State.
It does. In some ways, it's kind of like that 2013 Liberty Bowl. You have a chance here to really kind of jumpstart into your next season. It would have been even bigger for Mississippi State had they won that Egg Bowl, and you're playing in maybe a Florida Bowl game or possibly Tech. I don't know where they would have gone at if they would have won, but you're playing in a nice environment. You got a chance to win 9 games, but that would have been really big. But this is big too. I mean, for Mississippi State to get to 8-4 would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be 8-5? Yeah, 8-5. For State to get to 8-5 would be huge because you got all these guys coming back. You've won 2 bowl games in 2 years under Mike Leach, and you feel like you're really moving in the right direction. So this is a big game for Mississippi State. I hadn't even looked at the matchup like you. Yeah. I don't even know what Texas Tech has, other than the fact that they fired Matt Wells. So I just don't know what to expect just yet. But you got to think State's going to be favored in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an interesting dynamic that you're going up in Mike Leach versus Texas Tech, a place where he's still revered
right.
by a lot of people there. His tenure did not end well, but people there still love him, and there's people in the high school scene, they basically worship him there. They run his concepts, they run his offense, their programs run the same. There are a lot of people there that still love Mike Leach, and that's going to be a really interesting storyline coming into this ball game. And I'm really interested to see what Mississippi State does against Texas Tech, because this is really pivotal for them moving forward. You don't want to go into the offseason having lost back-to-back ball games and being just one game over 500.
Yeah. So I misspoke earlier. Let me correct that. They did not beat TCU or Kansas State. I thought they won those games, but they did not. So this year, this is their schedule, just looking at it now. Started out the year, they're Houston's only loss prior to the AAC championship game. They beat them in the season opener. Started out the year 3-0 and then gave up 70 points to Texas, who I'm not entirely sure scored 70 points the rest of the year.
Yikes.
But then they bounced back and beat West Virginia, who's a bowl team. So they're sitting at 4-1. I sort of see why Matt Wells lost. The next two games they lose, they lose the next one at home on homecoming to TCU, 52-31. They bounce back to beat Kansas. They lose a close one to Kansas State. They get blown out by Oklahoma. Then they beat Iowa State. So they've beaten some decent teams this year. Then their last two games of the season were against the two teams that played in the Big 12 championship game, Oklahoma State and Baylor, and obviously they lost both of those.
So how many wins do they have?
They're 6-16.
Okay.
3-6 in the conference and 3-0 outside of the conference with a win over Houston. So they've beaten 3 bowl teams this year. So this isn't a bad team, but they're not a great team either.
It's a game that State should win.
It's a game that State should win. Am I wrong saying that I think that this game has some meaning for Mississippi State, or is it just another bowl game? Yeah, with Leach, you never know, obviously. But I feel even with him, he's got to have a little part of him that wants to.
Oh yeah,
Texas Tech's nose in it, right?
Yeah, that's a thing where I could see him trying to get some points late in that
game.
Like this, yeah. This one's
first and goal from the 5, and there's like a minute left, and State's up 14. He's going to try to push it in.
Yeah, like this one's for Craig James,
Will there be a shed reference in any post game?
Yeah,
commentary?
Mississippi State has taken Texas Tech to the shed.
Yeah, it's like we took them to a shed and just left them in there for a couple hours or something. Will those things be happening? Those are some prop bets. I don't know if Vegas will give you.
What is Craig James up to these days?
I'm probably still on the run from the law for killing those 5 hookers.
Let's not wait. Hold on.
What?
Let's not go down that road.
5. Remember the 5.
God.
I have no idea what Craig. I mean, he lost that Senate bid, didn't he?
Yeah. Can you believe that dude ran for Senate?
Did he run against Ted Cruz?
Did he?
To get the Republican nomination? It had to be, right?
I don't know
who the other. I don't know off the top of my head who the other Texas senator is.
I just remember how bad he was on commentary.
Not good. What always bothered me, this is, we're way down
is
the
Is anybody good on commentary right now, well, by the way? The commentary is not good,
good
anywhere.
There are good guys on commentary.
Very few.
What bothered me about Texas, or about Craig James so much, is that he was so self-righteous about the purity of college football, and he played at SMU.
During
the
time.
Absolute worst time of their cheating.
And like, yeah, I don't want to hear it.
It drove me insane. Like, how can you be so self-righteous? You know, just have a little common humility, you know, a little self-awareness.
Doesn't Leach, isn't that lawsuit like still pending or whatever?
I have
Leach
no
and
idea.
Texas Tech?
But I guarantee you that we'll find out in the next 20 days.
That somebody's going to bring it up.
Oh, it's going to get brought up for sure. 100%. 100%. Well, obviously, we'll have some folks on who know Texas Tech a lot better than Robbie and I.
But like John Sokoloff?
We might have to have him on. Or if nothing else, we'll have you know, someone who he recommends.
Okay.
To do that. So for Mississippi State, another thing to consider is, you know, Will Rogers, I believe is about 50 yards shy of breaking or setting. Breaking's not the right term, but he will finish second in the SEC in terms of single season passing yards with a great game against, or not even a great game, he just has to complete 50 yards worth of passes.
And two less games.
It'll be, is that correct?
Mac Jones played 15 games. Joe Burrow played 15 games.
This Mac Jones is from last year, so it would only be 13 games.
Was it last year? Yeah. I thought it was. Yeah, you're right.
Because Mac Jones didn't start all the games in 19. But it is
15. Burrow had 5,000 plus.
Yeah, Burrow had 15 games. No question about that. Mac Jones, they'll be the same number of games.
Okay.
But that said, if Rodgers has a pretty typical game, he'll be about 350, 400 yards ahead of Mac Jones when this is done.
And, I mean, people will dismiss that, you know, as a product of the offense and all that. But, I mean, it's still a big deal. That's a lot of yards.
Here's the thing, Robbie. It is a lot of yards. And one thing I keep having to say this. I've been saying this a lot to Richard lately. It's like, it's not a rule that he has to complete the passes. Just because he throws them doesn't mean the ball has to be accurate.
You know, there's been a lot of guys that have played in this offense that have thrown for far less.
Yeah, right.
I
now,
mean, he didn't even throw for 2,000 last year.
I mean, here's the thing. Against a Big 12 team, which, you know, probably isn't great defensively, he's, 551 yards away from 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
That is a reasonable, I mean, it could happen. I think he'll finish between 48 and 49.
Yeah, he'll probably have like 410 or something like that.
410 would put him at 4,859 yards. You
Sounds
know,
good.
35 touchdowns to 8 picks. He'll probably be at 38 touchdowns, 39 touchdowns to, oh, we'll give him a pick, sure. 39 to 9 is pretty good.
Yes.
I mean, we're basically 4.5 to 1 at that point.
Why does nobody ever talk about, you know, running backs being in a system? I mean, whenever the running backs have like 2,000 yards rushing.
You're not wrong. If a guy, you know, nobody ever looks at a running back and goes, oh, well, he had, you know, 400 carries.
Yeah.
Nobody ever says that. They just say, oh, he's a great running back. I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, again, I say all quarterbacks are system quarterbacks. If a quarterback, Nick Fitzgerald was a system quarterback. That's why he ran for so many yards. The system was designed to allow him to do that.
I mean, a lot of what Matt Corral has done is based on the system.
Yeah.
If Matt Corral was running what he was running,
I mean,
when Matt Corral was a second string quarterback at Ole Miss when Rich Rodriguez was there.
Because John Rice Plumlee was a system quarterback. And Rodriguez.
So they're running a system that fits their quarterback. Like, that's what you do in football.
It's like people expect the off, you know, okay, this week you have to run an I formation offense. Next week we're going to run the spread. Next week we're going to run the wishbone. And if you're successful in all of them, we'll call you a good quarterback. You're not a system quarterback at that point.
Yeah, I just get tired of it.
It diminishes the
work that the kid has done.
There are a lot.
And that's not fair.
I mean, I have to go back and look, but I mean, Rodgers is going to complete between 75 and 76% of his passes this year. I don't care what system you're in. You can throw the ball in. Oh, he dinks and dunks. You can throw inaccurate passes and dinks and dunks.
Yes.
People do it all the time.
Yeah, it's not like KJ Costello was doing.
Yeah.
Was completing that last year.
So.
Yeah, I just get tired of that whole label.
What's the year for him stat wise? What's his best game for the year? He went over 500 one game, didn't he? Against Arkansas. No.
What is his best game?
He didn't. He didn't do 500 this year. He did. His highest yardage total is against Arkansas, 417. He had four. I'm sorry, I take it back. It was against Memphis, 419.
Yeah, his best game was Kentucky.
That's where he completed 92% of his passes.
Right.
After the.
But he didn't even throw for 400, did he?
Against Kentucky?
Did he throw for 400?
344.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, that was a game, if you recall, State ran the ball like 30
right,
times.
Right, right.
Since the Alabama game, against Alabama, he only completed 63.6% of his passes, which is the lowest for the year. 71-9, 92-3, 75, 80, 82-4. And then he had a bad game against Ole Miss by his standards, 65.5.
Yeah, the Ole Miss game wasn't great.
Yeah,
but it was raining too. I think that had more to do with it than anything.
Great year for Will Rogers, a Manning Award finalist. I don't think he'll win that award, but just to be, I mean,
he's just a sophomore.
Yeah, he's just going to keep getting better.
I mean, next year you're really going to start to hear things ramp up for him preseason.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to start talking about him.
He will be the second team. He'll be second team All-SEC next year.
Yeah, Bryce Young and then him.
Bryce Young will be number one. Bryce Young, by the way, very deserving of the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced a couple weeks ago. Now I am.
Let's talk about that before we change topics and go to basketball. That is one of the more improbable results. And I know we're talking about Alabama here, but even the most diehard Alabama fan who thought, well, we can win, wasn't saying we're going to dominate this game. Did we get sandbagged by Alabama?
I think it's just we are very naive. We forget who Nick Saban is. We forget who Alabama is. This isn't some bunch of underdogs out there. This is still a group of five-star recruits across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like Alabama just stopped recruiting. Kirby Smart's been recruiting at a high level, but Alabama's still been there. They've still been there right at the top. So they haven't played well this season. I think it skewed our thoughts on them because they struggled against A&M, struggled against Auburn, didn't look good against LSU, didn't look good against Arkansas. But at the end of the day, Nick Saban is still daddy.
Mm-hmm.
He is still daddy. And he's still Kirby Smart's daddy until proven otherwise.
I saw a TikTok that was just a picture of Saban, and then it flipped to these people singing. And it was labeled as College Football Playoff Committee, and they were singing "My God is an Awesome God." You're kind of right.
If Saban beats Kirby in the national championship,
mm-hmm.
Kirby will not beat him. I'm predicting that.
I agree with you.
I don't think he's going
to
beat him.
What happened is this: I think they were caught off guard by losing to Texas A&M. They didn't play well. They were caught off guard, right? What was the next game after that?
State,
which was probably the most thorough, dominating performance they had all year. Completely
yeah.
in control. That was the game where they were just like, okay, we need to show people we're still in charge here. Then after that, they just sort of, I think Nick was just sort of like, we've got this. We're not going to lose again. Let's just let people think that we're weak. And so then when we get to play Georgia, they have no idea what we're capable of.
I don't think that.
I think it was in
you
his
think
mind.
You think he planned the Iron Bowl, though? Because that was... They should have lost that game.
I think he knew the whole time. He's like, whenever I want the score, I will.
I don't think he's...
Do not underestimate the power of the emperor.
I just think that they're...
Something's off.
I just think they're inconsistent. I think that this team just has not played a lot of football.
They figured it out.
But they can turn it on just about any point.
Wasn't it
10-0
Georgia?
It was. It was 10-0 and then... And then it was like 34-17 or something.
Well, I mean,
like
he finished 41-24, so that's 41-14 from that point on.
Yeah, I mean,
Georgia gave up 83 points this year. They gave up 41 in one game.
It was unbelievable. I mean, like the play where like Jameson Williams caught the pass across the middle of the field and just took off and left everybody. I was like, okay, Bama's going to win this.
Yeah,
we are so stupid that we've forgotten who Alabama is.
You're right. We
at the end of the day,
that's
they
on
lost.
Us.
They lost one game. They lost to Texas A&M on the road, and that Auburn game might have been their worst game of the year. That was second worst. They actually lost that one. But
yeah.
They couldn't have played much worse, although they did against Auburn. But we cannot continue to just push Nick Saban to the side like the dynasty's over. They're still right there.
Well,
Well, until he leaves, this is what's going to happen.
What was funny is with Alabama is I was already looking ahead to next year. I was like, that team's going to be really good next season. They'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. They're returning everybody.
They're
going to
be the defending national champions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm convinced.
Alabama, Georgia in the final.
I picked Bama to win the national championship preseason.
I picked Georgia.
But after that A&M game, I started thinking that nobody's good except for Georgia. And now here's Bama.
He
is loving this because nobody expected them to do it. Because
you don't ever get that at Alabama. You don't ever get the whole note. Alabama in this time has not been able to play. Nobody believed in us.
Yes.
But they were able to play it this past week.
After the Iron Bowl when he went and like was just giddy with Miss Terry after the game and stuff.
He knew.
Like, you knew that guy was just living it up, man.
I need to get
because
the,
they had no pressure on them. Nobody thought that they were going to get to the national championship, and they're going to get there, and they're going to win. I know it's going to happen.
I feel like I need to give, like, the Mark Ruffalo from Spotlight Award here. They knew! They knew. All right, let's move on into basketball. It's brought to you by our good friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. This holiday season, give the gift of beef whenever you go shopping. You know, if you, I'm telling you right now, and I've bought meat for people for holidays before, nothing says I love you, nothing says Merry Christmas like a steak. I'd also give the gift to your favorite steak place and burger restaurant by going to the Mississippi Beef Council's Facebook page, drop them a like, and then vote in the statewide poll for the best hamburger and the best steak in the state of Mississippi. Make sure you vote in the poll. Don't leave a Facebook comment. That won't count. And you can get some great recognition to your favorite place to eat beef here in the Magnolia State. Merry Christmas and beef. It's What's for Dinner from the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. That's the place to go when you're looking for smoked southern soul food. Not just barbecue when you head to Two Brothers. It's so much more than that, and the menu really reflects that. Robbie and I tell you all the time, you can find us at Two Brothers almost every week. I'm sure this week will be no different. Head over to Two Brothers, 621 University Drive, for smoked southern soul food. Advantage Business Systems makes it really, really easy for you. They've got the plan that serves your business. They offer you an incredible selection of products, everything your business needs from a technological standpoint, and they take everything they sell, and they sell it to you, and they back everything up with that customer service that you would expect dealing with your next-door neighbor, which is what they are at Advantage Business Systems. They are your next-door neighbor. They're Mississippi business first and foremost. Check them out today. Find out how they can put 47 years of experience to work for you. Number is 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Mississippi State drops a non-conference basketball game at the Hump on Sunday, 81-76 to Minnesota, a game that saw the Bulldogs fall behind by 14 points, not once but twice, battle all the way back to have the game tied in the final seconds, but Minnesota makes a couple of clutch shots, Mississippi State can't make one, and then that was that. Iveson Molinar had a really great game, 26 points for him. He was nearly unstoppable in the final moments, but he did miss the final shot that the state had to tie the game after a three-pointer by Minnesota, who shot the ball incredibly well, especially in the second half. Shot over 50% from the field and from three. They were 9 of their first 10 from the field in the second half, where State had cut the lead to 1. They were able to push it back to 14. They started the game on a 14-0 run. I give State a lot of credit for fighting and for sticking around. But this is a game you sort of needed to have, I feel. And that we talked about this week. You know, this game against, I forget, who do they play the other night? It was Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have this game, and then now you have to take a week off, basically, before you go to Texas to play Colorado State. In that 3 games, you needed to be 2-1. Well, now you've got no room for error. You got to win this game against Colorado State to keep everybody and I'll go ahead and tell you, the bandwagon is not big. I was at the game today. I'm not gonna be one of these guys. I'm not gonna chide anybody. You don't want to come to the game? Don't come to the game. That's fine. But I do feel like Ben Howland, who is, you know, he's got to get this team in the tournament. I've said it since day one. If this team doesn't go to the tournament, you got to make a change. But I got to give him some credit, right? It's got to be incredibly difficult to recruit to an empty stadium.
Yeah, you have no selling point as far as an atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, you just have playing.
People are just not interested in basketball. They're interested. They we have people that are commenting on it, but people were just not interested to the point where they want to come to the game. And, you know, a lot of it's been blamed on women's basketball, where people aren't coming to that either. So, I mean, people just aren't going to games at Mississippi State for whatever reason. You know, it is difficult, and it's not helping the product on the floor. Crowds usually help.
Well, that's what I thought a couple of times. I mean, you know, Minnesota gets out to a quick 7-0 lead, right? The crowd isn't there to sort of get you back in, you know, hey, let's pick it up here. Or, you know, when you're making that run, there's no crowd to, like, rattle the other team. You're having to do it completely with your play. And, again, I don't blame Mississippi State fans for trepidation. I don't blame them for not being on board. I don't have a problem with that. But I do say – but at the same time, once again, we've had this a lot recently, right? Two things can be true at the same time.
Yes.
It's possible to say, look, I understand why you don't come to the games, but also say not having a crowd is a real tangible reason why State would lose a close home game like this.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
State was a 10.5-point favorite today, by the way.
Minnesota was a lot better than I expected. I haven't watched them all year.
I need
but
to see more of them.
If they play like that,
I mean,
most
they're
going to
shoot the ball like that. Yeah, they're going to win a lot of games.
I mean, a lot of that was just seemed kind of fluky, let's be honest. I mean, it was just kind of like just throwing up some prayers and they were dropping. Mm. But, man, how many times have we watched that game play out? State gets down, they come back, can't get over the hump, and they lose anyway. I mean, that's happened a lot. It's just that's been one of those things that you know Ben Hallen teams are going to fight. They've done that from the beginning since he's been here. Mm-hmm. But there's been too many games that he hasn't been able to win mm-hmm. that have been like that. State's going to have some games like that this year. Last year they had a ton of them and they didn't win them. There was a lot of games like that they didn't win. The Kentucky game was kind of the outlier in the SEC tournament. That was a game where you're just kind of like, well, I wasn't expecting that. You know, State blew a lead and Kentucky got up and State came back and won. So State has got to find a way to win those close games. I mean, I thought when they tied it up on Molinar's three-point play
mm-hmm.
that Minnesota was about to fold.
I did
but
too.
They just got it in the hands of their guy, and he went and made a play.
Yeah. Give Minnesota a lot of credit.
I mean, he just chunked it up. I mean, let's just...
Well, a lot of those shots were tough. I didn't have a problem with State's the way they were playing defense. I thought there were a lot of contested looks that fell for Minnesota. Sometimes the team is just hot. The problem was the first half, State was just miserable the first half. State, I think, is still out of sync. I don't feel like everybody's fallen into their roles yet. I don't feel like people know exactly where they're supposed to be yet. Tolu Smith, really bad game for him today. I've coming off back-to-back double-doubles, but he did not play well. I thought DJ Jeffries played one of his better games. Obviously, Molinar was good. Rocket Watts off the bench, I think he'll be starting pretty soon. He feels like he's sort of a...
Over Shaquille Moore.
I think he's a little bit better than Shaquille Moore. Moore might be the bench guy in this.
Yeah, Moore had a couple of opportunities to knock down a big shot, and he couldn't make it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is one of those games. Like, I really feel like State's not even close still to what they can be.
Mm-hmm.
But this was kind of my concern with them preseason. Can they stay in good standing for whenever they hit their stride?
Right.
Don't.
That's why this
slip
game
up.
On Saturday against Colorado State is
they can't
crucial.
They cannot lose anymore. You cannot lose any more non-conference games. Because I don't think Louisville or Minnesota is going to be bad losses,
mm-hmm.
but they're not good wins.
Right.
You don't have quality wins there. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. But as long as you don't lose to and Colorado State's undefeated, I think still.
They are 9-0. They have wins. I mean, in terms of teams that you've seen in the playoffs or seen in the tournament before, Oral Roberts, Creighton, Bradley, Arkansas, Little Rock, St. Mary's. Those are good wins. That's the resume of a tournament team thus far, assuming they handle their business in conference play. And this game is in a sort of a neutral site.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is a big game for Mississippi State. They need to find a way to get it done.
MSU's not been good at neutral sites.
No,
that often.
What? 0-2 last year, 1-1.
Well, they went to the
year.
NIT, they were okay, but.
Yeah, but still. Well, that definitely gets a yeah, but still. So, we'll see.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like this team, whenever SEC play heats up, they're going to be really good. But, you know, a couple of years ago, they were good. They were top four in the SEC, and you didn't know if they were going to make the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's not a guarantee that you're going to. being in good shape. So you need to be able to close the non-conference play strong,
mm-hmm.
and try to get, you know, the chemistry 100% by the time conference hits. Because Alabama's looking great, Arkansas is looking really good,
mm-hmm.
Auburn's looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kentucky, you got teams in this conference that are going to be tough night in, night out.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought this could be a really good win for them, and they just couldn't.
It would have been an incredible win if they had pulled it off to come back.
The 14-0 run was the killer, because whole game.
I disagree with you.
Here's why I say that.
Okay.
The entire game,
you're playing catch up.
You play catch up and you tie it, and then they push it back out, and then you tie it again.
They never tied it in the first in the second half.
Well, you got it to one point.
But that's the thing. They got it within one. So they erased the first 14 run.
Yeah,
but
you
letting them get it back out to 14 was what killed
them. Well, that's my point. A lot of times, the effort that you put in getting to that point,
it takes it out of you.
It's tough to continue to maintain that.
They did it twice, though, incredibly.
But they do that a lot. They've done this so many times.
Yeah.
And they got to find a way to win those games.
I agree. Big game Saturday with Colorado State. All right, we'll be talking bowl games. We'll be talking recruiting. Obviously, stay at a big recruiting weekend this weekend. If you're someone who loves chaos on a message board, today was a fantastic day for you. We'll talk about that. State, I mean, I don't know if the commitments are coming, but it looks good with some of their top, basically three of their top four targets that remain on the board. Obviously, we had the decommitment of Cam East, which sparked an incredible debate on 24/7. But that's we'll talk about. We'll do a little recruiting tomorrow on top of whatever else. And then, of course, we have the Rumblings on Wednesday. All right, guys. Have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.